Can we all just stand and praise the Lord? I have a verse from Isaiah 43:15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You are a waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. You came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied. Thank you. waves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the arms stretched wide.
Jesus. the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. song of ages to the land. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing this song of ages to the land. Jesus, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, you are risen Christ. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Oh, the angels cry.
People sing, holy, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
Thank you that you are a good, good Father. There is none like you. Thank you, Jesus. So we head into a time of communion. Just as we were singing this song, just felt really strongly to go to a very familiar verse just about his goodness. And it's a classic verse, and well, I don't really need my phone for it. But maybe you could help me with it. But it's in the book of John. It's chapter 3, verse 16. Anyone wants to help me with it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's amazing how that one verse can summarize so many things. Like the song said, we have a good, good Father, that we're loved by him, and that's who we are. We're beloved. And he is, and we love him as well. But for God, the good Father so loved the world. He so loved us. And that's the whole thing. That's the cross summarized. It's just Jesus coming. The Father sending him, Holy Spirit, all intertwined with it. The three in one. He's such a good Father. And so this morning, just a recollection, a remembering that he's the giver. You know, whatever we need. First, you know, salvation, obviously, but life, strength, healing. You know, so many different things that are covered in that blood covenant relationship we have with Jesus. And so, as we celebrate his death, resurrection, through taking communion, doing what Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him, if you know Jesus as Lord, we're going to take communion together. If you're not there yet, I'd love to talk with you, pray with you today. But he's a good Father. He's here. He's touching our hearts. He's moving in our lives. We're going to be sharing in a little bit about what God did at summer celebration this week among the kids, the elementary and the preschool. We're going to be sharing about what God did in Ghana, West Africa, on the way there and on the way back. But it's just, it's all summarized, and he is good. Whatever he's doing, he is good. Lord, I thank you that you are good. I pray that we'd never forget that, how good you are. Even when trials and tribulations, temptations, whatever come, remembering that you always provide a way of escape, that you always are the all-sufficient one, the one who is good, that's always giving. You give life. So, Father, I just pray as we take the elements today, Lord, that we are taking life, drinking in life in our spirit, man, drinking in life in our bodies, in our mind. Lord, I pray that any weariness would go, Lord. I thank you that as we take of this, that any weakness, any sickness, any disease would go. Father, I just thank you for healing hearts and touching us in every way, because you're so good. You know everything, and yet you still love us. Shared it quite a few times in Ghana for God so loves, because he demonstrates his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't wait for us to clean up our act, but you died for us while we were dead in our sins, that you would bring life. Thank you for that. Lord, I just sanctify this bread as the body of Jesus broken for us. Sanctify this juice as the blood of Jesus poured out for us. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that life. We do this in remembrance of you, of your sacrifice, and your great, great love. The great, great love of the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Rachel comes to share about summer celebration. Just so thankful to be here. And Pastor Bill and Pastor Marie Pat Goki, who are the pastors and directors of Frontline, just send their love and greetings. They are with family, extended family, and some that were supposed to be with them, but thanks to the rains yesterday, they're here today with us. So thanks, Jacques, for hanging out with us for the day. But praying for safe travel for them as they join the pastors, you know, on a time of family getting together, reunion, vacation. But they send their love and greetings, and they'll be back with us soon. But I believe we have an update from summer celebration.
So you guys can see some of the fun from summer celebration behind us. This year, the theme was scuba, diving into a friendship with God. And we just spent Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evening here with a very excited group of preschoolers and elementary students. And then our junior high students also helped out, and a lot of you guys, adults. So thank you so much. And summer celebration is just an amazing time, because I get to, the past couple years, I've gotten to teach the Bible Adventure Station, the best station in all of summer celebration. And just, you have the kids for a rotation, so you just have them for, you know, a small 20-minute or so segment. But in that time, we got to cover forgiveness of others. We got to cover trusting God with our fears. We got to cover salvation and what it means to give your life to Jesus and live with him forever. And all of those points are reinforced throughout the week with other activities, with games and sticky scriptures, they call them, learning Bible verses with videos and doing crafty, sciencey, cool gizmo things. And it all comes together into kids just having fun and learning about Jesus. So this year we learned, you guys got to help me out. This year we learned that God is a friend who loves. Thanks, God. And God is a friend we can trust.
Thanks, God.
And God is a friend forever. So we have a video we're going to watch, and then I'm going to invite all of you kids and teens that we're helping to come up and sing one of the songs. And we don't have many of you here, so I need everybody who's here to come up in the front and help with the song. But first, the video. So everybody come on up. Adults can come too. I know some of you adults like these songs. I think we're doing One Big Family. Is that the name of it? All right. So everybody who wants to come, come on up. We're going to sing and go, 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 go. Come on, come on, come on.
I got a friend in Jesus, so you got a friend in me. Let's have some
everybody
fun
stand up with
each
them.
Other like we're
you can join in.
Family.
It's pretty easy. Follow the screen.
Come on now, sing it with me.
I got a friend in Jesus, so you got a friend in me. Let's have some fun with each other like we're one big happy family. Yeah, let's slide left. Slide left one more time. Now turn to the right and give someone a high five. Now slide right, right, right. Get back to where you started. Now jump up and down. Yeah, it's time to party, 'cause
I got a friend in Jesus.
Amen. Awesome. I love this topic, scuba diving. So cool. Well, we're going to go from scuba diving into the deep, deep oceans to far off West Africa, Ghana. We're on a journey. But here's one of the really interesting things, and I'm not going to steal anybody's thunder. Try not to, at least. But we saw the Lord doing something really neat from a generational perspective. And so God was speaking a lot about that process and what that looks like. And so I want to share just a little bit about the beginning trip. Are we? Oh, we do? Awesome. The younger kids are released. Nursery and pre-K. My kids are about to run out of the room. They're much older than that at this point. Awesome. So the Lord's been speaking a lot on this trip about generational blessings and what it looks like for the promises of God to flow through generations. So it's kind of, I love the fact that we're starting with the scuba and the preschool and the elementary kids, and now we're just seeing where it goes from there. And so we had our youth mission trip to Ghana, Africa. If you don't know, we've been going to Ghana, Africa since 1999. So we met Pastor Samuel of Life Christian Center in 1998, partnered with him, and we have been going since 1999. And so we had some people on the team sharing about some of their first experiences when they were about the same age as some of the ones on this trip. And so to see that process of how the Lord has continued not only to bring blessings in that process, but to carry that through generations and how faithful he's been in that process has been really neat. And I'm sure they're going to share a little bit more about that. I just wanted to share about how we started off on this trip. So we were very fortunate. We had a beautiful itinerary. We went from here to New York and then New York to Ghana. So kind of a quick trip. That's a testimony in and of itself. But the Lord started like right away before we even landed in Africa, kind of speaking about the process and everything that the Lord wanted to do. And so on our flight from Cleveland to New York, which typically is a pretty small plane, you have one flight attendant that manages the entire plane. And so she saw our beautiful Ghana gold shirts. You know, it had the Ghana information on it. And she started sharing with one of our teammates about how she was coronated as a queen in Ghana. Now, if you don't know Ghana culture, she was not the queen of all of Ghana, which would explain why she was our flight attendant. Talk about a demotion. But she was just sharing about some of her experience and the fact that when she was in Ghana, she was coordinated by probably what was a village chief. So she was starting to share some of that experience. So that's just Cleveland to New York. And then we land in New York, and Josh calls Nisaki, who, if you don't know who Nisaki is, that's Pastor Samuel's son, who lives in New York. And it just so happened that we are in New York, and it's Nisaki's birthday. And I haven't seen him in quite a few years. We gave him a call, talked to him a little bit, and our layover seemed to be just long enough. If you know New York, this is, to me, a miracle in and of itself, where our layover was long enough that Nisaki was actually able to get to the airport and see a couple of teammates. We didn't take the whole team out of security. That we had bags and a lot of other stuff, but had an opportunity to connect with him briefly in person. And so we were just talking about the intentionality of God, about his heart and his process. And so realizing, like, in one flight from Cleveland to New York, meeting somebody that was coronated as a queen, landing in New York, it happened to be Nisaki's birthday, and getting an opportunity to see him and connect in person before going over to Ghana to work with Nisaki's father, Pastor Samuel. And so we just started laying that before the Lord and praying and just kind of getting a sense that there was something really prophetic that the Lord was trying to speak on it. And one of the things that he spoke to the team is that you're in the right place at the right time. And so for a team of youth, we did our first trip with a handful of youth last year to Sao Paulo, Brazil. But for a team that either has no international experience, but most of them have never been to Africa, to have that assurance just before we even get to the country, it was so beautiful to see how the Lord was already starting to encourage and strengthen the team and show how intentional he was, not only in everything that he wanted to do, but everything that he already was doing while we were before we even got to Ghana. And so it was really neat just to see that process of how he carried us through that and how faithful he was. And so we're going to have several other testimonies and stories about that continuing even from before we got to Ghana. But I believe we have some video of the team sharing, which we're going to show, and then we'll have a chance to share some more of the testimonies.
To kill the man. But Jesus saved him. He took the price on himself. So the man wouldn't have to die. Jesus sacrificed himself so the man wouldn't have to die, and he died.
Jesus' stripes, we are healed.
His stripes, his wounds.
Everything he went through on the cross.
And this gave us a chance to have a relationship with God and come close to God, and so that we can live in heaven with him someday.
And
expanding all over Ghana. The Lord wants to grow the church.
And when she gave her heart, her broken heart to Jesus, he gave her a new one. And she was living an actually free life.
Amen, amen. Well, I love that we started out with that, because I'm so proud of this team. So proud. It was just an amazing time. It's really hard if you're not there and you don't have some of the background to really put it all together. But for the parents and the family members that are visiting, for the church body that knows your youth well, and everyone else, just understand that we are so, so proud and so amazed at what God did in and through each of these people. You can imagine how challenging it may be to get on a microphone, let alone get on a microphone in the middle of Africa and speak with people that you don't know. It can be a very intimidating experience, but with the, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of each one of these team members, they just went for it. And it was just so amazing. So thank you, team, for just going for it with the Lord. And we're going to see that how the Lord cooperated, the team cooperated with Holy Spirit in all of this, just to see amazing things happen. So again, you should be very, very proud of each of your team members that went, if you're here. So we're going to continue what Lawrence said with a little bit of a theme. And the very first outreach that we had for this team was in a, we call it a village, but it's no longer a village, but in a place called Abinsu. And for those that know, in 1999, for the first trip that we took with Pastor Samuel as a ministry, then this was also the very first outreach place that we took in the history of Frontline. And at that time, it was a combined effort between Pastor Samuel and Life Christian Center and Frontline in planting this new church in the village of Abinsu, which now has transformed into looking like the city of Abinsu, and the church has grown significantly. So 25 years ago, a team from Frontline, their very first ministry site with a youth mission trip was to plant a church in Abinsu. 25 years ago, that happened, and then 25 years later, not planned by us, not thinking in our brains, let's go to Abinsu as our first ministry site, because that's what we did 25 years ago. That's just what happened. And so it's the prophetic significance of seeing what God did, that fruit is still remaining, and it's grown. And now this team gets to come in and build on the foundation that was laid to see more fruit and see that fruit grow even more. So we had a time that day where we went outside, and sorry, there's pictures of our team meeting Pastor Selwa when we arrived. Yes, this is Pastor Samuel of Life Christian Center, again, who we work with for quite a bit. So he's happy to see Judah and other team members in person. So the first thing we did is we got to do some street ministry. And I'm actually, I know I warned you guys in advance, some of this is not on the agenda. I'm going to have Luke and Sarah come up for just 1 second, if you can. They were in my group, so I'm probably going to pick on them a little bit. But and my wife, who is not here this morning, was also there. But during the ministry day, we got a chance to go out and pray for people. And the very first person that we got a chance to pray for needed healing from knee problems. Auntie Ya is her name. So I just wanted you guys to share what that was like praying for someone for healing for the first time for you.
Wait, what was her name again? Auntie Ya. So we walked up to her, and we were inviting people to the church for that night for a special service with white people there. So we were, that's why most of the people came. But we were trying to invite people, and she said, oh, well, I can't come because I can't walk there. And it ended up she had pain in her knee, and it had been there. How long was it? Was it hurting, did she say?
Yeah, years. She had just been to the hospital.
Yeah, she just came back from the hospital, and we got to pray for her and just spend some time with her.
Yeah, so when we walked up to her, she welcomed us into her shop, and she offered if we wanted to buy something from her shop, and we said, no, we're here to pray for you, and we invited her to the church, but when she said that she had a problem with her knee, I was like, okay, this is a great opportunity for me to pray into this. And for me personally, I have never prayed for healing, and this was my first missions trip ever, so this is completely foreign and completely new to me. So I just jumped right in and just tried to trust the Lord in this process. And we prayed for her for a while, actually. And after a couple of minutes, we asked her if her knee was feeling better, and she was able to move it. And she was saying, it felt a lot better. And she asked for more prayer, and she continued to feel better. So amen.
And guess where this woman had relatives in? The state of Ohio. Let alone having relatives in America, but in the state of Ohio. And so the right place at the right time, these were divine appointments. And so then after we did street ministry, we invited people to church that night. And then we had a service at the Abensu branch, which Pastor Dan and his wife, Mama Helen, have been overseeing for quite a time. He's another senior pastor at Life Christian Center with Pastor Samuel. And those are the two main pastors we've known for many, many years. And again, I'm going to pick on Sarah again. Sarah got a chance to share her testimony in front of the church. And I believe it was an encouragement as well. And how was that for you?
It was good. it was my first time sharing my testimony, and I had recently given my life to Jesus, so it's completely new for me to just go up there and just share everything from the beginning to the end, and I think it was a little longer than expected, but I think it was God's plan, and I think a lot of people were touched by it. So,
amen. Thanks, guys. So that was our first night, Abensu. The next day, which was Thursday at this point, so that was their Wednesday night service. We went out in the area of Masaman, which is where Pastor Samuel lives, in the main branch of Life Christian Center is. So this is kind of like a suburb of Accra. Accra is the capital city, sort of on the southern coast of Ghana. And so we did some ministry house to house, shop to shop in the areas surrounding his church. And so there's going to be some people that are going to share with you about that time. Some people, meaning my son and Troy.
So, yeah, the day we ministered in Amasaman was sort of unplanned. Like, we were supposed to leave in the morning, but, you know, Africa time. And so we ministered in the evening in the place that we weren't going to minister. But anyways, so we were walking down the road, like, just after we had met our translator and everything, and we came upon a group of men, like, just sitting around watching the TV, and we sort of had a sense that there was a couple things there that weren't right. So we started to share with them and the gospel, and, yeah, Joseph and I shared with them the gospel, and they were sort of distracted at first, but then started to sort of focus in and not goof around as much. And so then we asked them if they wanted to give their lives to Jesus, and they were like, yes. So Joseph and I prayed with them to give their hearts to Jesus, and they all accepted him. And then I had a vision of, like, a drop of water dropping into a dark pool of water and then a ripple of light spreading out. And so we just continued to pray with them for healing and deliverance from addictions that they had, and we just felt real breakthrough there, and they actually came to church, so that was amazing. And one thing that amazed me in this whole ministry opportunity down there was that every person we met, every group that we talked to, there was salvation every single time, and that's more evidence of Jesus and salvation and divine appointments there. So the next person I met personally was Sammy. He was riding his bike, and we started to talk to him, Vimal and I, and we were just sharing with him the gospel again. And then he was sort of distracted, but we kept sharing with him, and he also gave his life to Jesus. So, yeah, that was amazing. And he also came to church. So, yeah, the Lord is good. And then I was not there for this next one. I believe Troy and Joseph talked to men.
So yeah, it was, we had three different teams going out at the same time into, different directions through the area around the church. And long story short, the church had gone through a lot of persecution, and people had tried to take away the land, shut down the church. And it wasn't until, it took about an eight-year process, and they finally won the case at the Supreme Court of Ghana. Like, it literally went that far. But in that process, there was about 4 years where the church was shut down. And so the last couple of years that it's been open, again, finally, after winning that case, the Lord has just come in, and just a lot of people coming to the Lord and joining in and people growing. And so us getting to go there and just kind of continue to revitalize that and go out and spread, share the gospel with people and invite them to come. It was just exciting to join in with that. And the so as we went, and each group saw this, what Judah was saying, where people were just coming to the Lord, or getting touched or healed, different things. And so I believe these are Muslim guys here, right, Josh, wasn't this? Or this was Lawrence's group, maybe. Some Muslims that came to the Lord. We actually ran into one of them, and one that we thought they were all together. And as we were talking with Rashid and, kind of helping talk through what God had done in his heart, Joseph went to, "Do you need a heart of your father?" And I'm like, "Oh, they're already, whatever." And the one guy said, "No, I need one." And we realized that his friend was not part of the group who had received Jesus, so we had assumed wrong. And so to share the gospel with him, and then ended up getting to pray with him for salvation as well. So it's just exciting how the Lord used that to run into his friend and make sure, just through little things like, hey, Joseph saying, "Hey, you guys get this," to be encouraged. And as we went to, just prophetically, the Lord started showing things like where Judah had the vision, and we had a few words of knowledge. The one group that had us in a circle praying, there were four kids that came to the Lord, but as we were talking to them before that, the Lord showed that there had been a recent death of someone close in their family circle, just felt that impression. And the two are brothers there and had just lost their sister. And so the Lord is just speaking right to where they're at. He knows where we're at. And, just that helped lead into salvation for them. And we're just praying out in the middle of the street there, the shop in the background. And this is the Muslim guy, the accidental salvation, not accidental, but this is the intentional salvation of God. He had missed it. He had been in the house or something and had missed when Lawrence's group was there sharing. And so that's exciting. And I think, was there more that we had to share, Judah, or which one? There was another guy through a word of knowledge about things going in his life. We don't need to share on the video, but the Lord just gave a specific word of knowledge about where he's at. He was at first saying, "Oh, I go to such and such a church or whatever," but the Lord just spoke and showed that there was more going on, and he needed some freedom and to actually fully surrender his heart to Jesus. So that was cool. So it was just, we everywhere we went really saw that, especially in this particular time of outreach. And then, Josh, I didn't know if you wanted me to segue into Isaac or if you wanted to talk to Insawam. So I think, Isaac, you were going to share. But we, from there, the next day, we were starting. Pastor Samuel had been planning to plant a church in an area called Insawam. Did I say it right? Insawam. And he actually felt to hold that and wait until our team got there, the youth got there. And so this is the land. And this is actually land in Ghana, or at least in Pastor Samuel's tribe. Typically the grandfather would give land to the grandchildren, is how a lot of times the land would pass down. And so this land, part of this land, had several plots that, one plot of which he's giving to his grandchildren, but this other plot he was giving to the Lord, and his great-grandfather, if I have it right, is the one that, kind of started in with a lot of this and had been a Christian, and some of the family have since left that. But Pastor Samuel felt led to give part of that land to plant a church there. It's about 30 or 40 minutes from the branch, the main branch there in Amasaman. And so we had a chance to pray over the land and then to go out and to actually plant that church, which is something that we've had the privilege of doing with Pastor Samuel for 25 years in different places in the north in Ghana and the south and in between and to the sides. And so again, spent time praying. And I believe, Isaac, can you share that? Do you want to come up, please? And could you, yeah, come up now, please? Thank you. Clarify, not done, but I want you to do something different. Could you share the picture that you had when we were praying on the land, what you were seeing?
So while Pastor Samuel was praying over the land to dedicate it for the new church and like break off anything that had been on it previously, I just had this picture of like a dirt path going by the side of a building. And what the Lord was speaking to me about it was that it was that the church was going to be a place where people went to for help with their problems, and that the church would be able to help with the problems. Which one of the interesting things about that picture I came to realize later was that we had conversations about some of the like dark things that people try to use to fix their problems in Ghana, and that was just a part, that was just a farther meaning to me of what the picture meant and like specifically what it was against.
And then also, didn't you feel like that path was a very well-traveled path, right? And it just felt like the Lord was saying there were a lot of people were going to come through there and be, you know, receive the Lord and be encouraged, and it was going to be a place of just the Lord pouring out. So I think, yeah, so I'll turn it over to Isaac here now for real. But in Sawam was, again, we had the privilege, we spent 3 days there doing evangelism house to house, and some will share some of those testimonies, and seeing people come in the kingdom and having crusade at night, a couple nights, and then planting the church. But that was exciting to be a part of. So, Isaac.
So for in the first night in Unsawam, where we were just like getting to know the area and the people and how this was going to work, we got to like go invite people to come see a movie that we showed about Jesus and his life. And then there were people segued that into sharing the gospel, and we saw like 40 plus salvations, which was really cool for the first night. But then after that, there was an offer for a time of healing, and Dad unexpectedly called me up to share a testimony. So I got to do that. Yeah, sounds familiar. So I got to do that, but then I also got to, after I shared the testimony and people came up, just start praying for people, which I got to see like 4 people get healed right then. But then there was also one man who had actually been taking care of the land for the Kwakapones that was going to be where the church building was located for, I think he'd been doing it for quite a while, right? Yeah. So he came up for healing for his leg and his knee, and that I was able to pray for him, but I didn't really get the chance to ask him if it had been healed because he immediately brought someone else up. But later I was able to get a translator and go back and ask him, like, did this get fully healed? And he was like, it got a little better, but not quite. So I got the chance to pray for him again, and it was completely healed. Was really cool.
Yeah, Isaac was like in the bus afterwards, and then the meal afterwards, like popping testimony after. Oh yeah, and I prayed for this person, they were healed. Oh, and there's this other person I prayed for, and they were healed. Oh, and wait, yeah, and this other. I was like, okay, all right, we know Isaac's anointing for that night. So, yeah, we did a. Showed Magdalena, the film Magdalena, the first night people invited, and then we gave the gospel afterwards and prayed. And then the second night we did multiple dramas and, you know, some preaching and some different things and some music and a lot of fun things. We have, I think, Joseph, I think, and Sarah and Luke all have different parts of these 3 days. So we really, that was one of the main focuses of this trip, was spending, you know, 3 of our days in Sawam for this new church plant. So
for the first day in Sawam, we walked on the land, and then we went out to invite people for that night. And then my group, we ran into this elderly man. He said he couldn't see, like, at all. So my group was all able to pray for him. I prayed for him first. He said he was able to then see figures. Like, he could tell that there were people standing in front of him. We were able to share with him. And then after me, Luke was also able to pray for him. If wasn't sure if he wanted to tell you guys about that.
So yeah, Joseph prayed for him first, and he was able to, like, make out there were people here. Then he could see, like, couldn't he see a little bit of color? I think. Oh. Then I prayed for him, and then he was able to, like, identify that the color of our shirts. He could tell that Troy was holding an orange bag, and I think he said he could see a little bit farther away. And we're still praying for complete healing, but I believe the Lord was doing something very powerful in him.
And Sarah?
Yeah, so this is the night that we showed the film, and there was a lot of people that came up to receive Jesus and to receive salvation. And there was this one kid, maybe a little bit older than Jonathan. His name was Justice. He had a problem with his eyes. He said he couldn't see long distances, but he could see fine short distances, but he couldn't see from here to, like, the back of the room. Like, that was completely out of his vision sight. And so I prayed for him, and I prayed for him for a while, actually, and just asked the Holy Spirit to lead me in this prayer and to just pray for full healing and full vision, that he could see whatever he wanted to see through God's healing. And so after a few minutes, I asked him if he felt better, and he said that he felt that there was clay that came off of his eyes, and he could now see the full distance, which is amazing. And after that day, he continued to come the next 2 days that we were ministering in Sawam. So that's amazing. And that same night, he brought 2 or 3 of friends who also asked for healing in different parts of their bodies. And I was able to pray for them for healing, and they were also completely healed. And the first day that we were doing street ministry, we ran across this girl. Her name is Petra. She did not have any parents, and so she was kind of in this group of kids, but she was not really the loud one. She was kind of the quiet one, and so we were ministering to these group of kids for quite a while, actually, and we told them to come to the movie, come to the dramas, come to the third night of ministry, and so they all showed up, and the same night that we showed the movie, Petra asked for me to pray for her ability to read and to study. And so I was able to pray over her for that. And the next 2 days that we were ministering in Sawam, she came for all of those sessions. And she was able to give her life to the Lord. And we were able to read to her the heart of the Father. And she was able to tap into the Holy Spirit. And we were really able to connect on a different level there.
Yeah, and so you can get an idea of, you know, each day there was so many testimonies of things going on. Just for another example, we'll put up this picture of Prince. And so to get an idea, you know, Insawam is a fairly large area. It actually has one of the major prisons in Ghana. And so we were going back house to house inviting people, but we were also like going along the roadside where there's just a myriad of people and shops, and you're interrupting people doing their day-to-day business just to invite them. But we're also asking Holy Spirit, which person do you want me to stop and pray for? Which person do you want me to preach the gospel to? Because, you know, ideally we're just inviting them so then they all can hear the gospel in one big session, but there's going to be some people that don't come, and we know that. And so this is where, you know, being guided by the Holy Spirit was really important, and all of our team members and teams that went out did this. And so sometimes God would give people a prophetic word that would then be the open door for them to preach the gospel or pray for healing. In this case, I got an opportunity to meet this young man. I was started out just inviting him, and I felt very quickly like you need to preach the gospel to him. And so, like many, I asked him, you know, do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And usually the answer is, yes, I'm a Christian. I go to this church. And so I just, you know, said, well, you're a Christian, you go to this church, but are you following Jesus or are you going your own way? And he hung his head, I'm going my own way. And I gave him the gospel and he gave his life, to the Lord right there, at the street side. And so you can see God's even doing these things just during invitation time. Amazing testimonies. The next, then, Sunday morning, so, Luke. Oh, that was actually at Amasaman, but we can also share that as well. Did you want to share about Priscilla still? Okay, bring it on.
So that was in Amasaman? Yeah, that was in Amasaman. Right. So in Amasaman, I think we were just doing street ministry, I believe, and there was this little girl, I think the same age as Jonathan, what Sarah said. Her name was Priscilla, and she had, what was it called?
Cerebral palsy.
And we just got to pray over her and her family and just encourage them. And we could tell the mom was really touched. And didn't she pray to Jesus or something?
She prayed. She said that she had she knows the Lord as a Christian.
So yeah, Priscilla knows the Lord. And it was just a good time. We were ministering with their family and their neighbors and got to connect with them a little bit.
Yeah, so she was sitting in a sort of a car seat style car seat because with the cerebral palsy, she wasn't able to walk on her own and do things on her own. And then that actually led into an opportunity that the father came home while we were praying. The mother actually pulled us from another group. So we were in another group, and she saw us, and she came into the group. You need to pray for my daughter. Come. We're like, okay, well, we will do that. So our group went over, and then we understood why. And then actually the father came home while we were praying. He was not there, and I had the opportunity to minister with him on the side about some private issues that the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about as well. And he ended up giving his life to the Lord, the father of Priscilla. And so you could tell that was also impacting the mother because, as you can imagine, taking care of a child with those type of special needs, the family to be intact, mother and father, with all that goes into that spiritually and practically. So that was a huge blessing for them. And we're continuing to believe for freedom for Priscilla. Amen. Thanks, Luke. So then Sunday morning at Insawam, we had our first church service. So this was the first time where this new seedling church was meeting. And we had it under a canopy on the area that we had previously done the ministry. We were going to have it on the actual land itself, but because of the rain and the conditions of the land, it was pretty muddy and uneven. So we had it at this more dirt area. And it was really, there's so many things we could say about the time. But I'm going to let my wife, she's going to share about a time of outpouring of the Holy Spirit and following in a video form.
Sorry I can't be with you today. I just wanted to express my my gratitude for being able to be a part of this team and this trip. It was truly a blessing to serve alongside of these amazing teenagers. Was just extremely amazed at the wealth of the Spirit and the mindset of the kingdom of God that they carry and walk in. And many of them referring back to how they've learned so much from just being in God Connect and Kingdom Kids and Greenlight Missions. So very, very grateful. So many things I could share, but just wanted to share about one instance. We got to hold a new church service at a village called Nsawam. And I got to, after the service was through, I got to speak about the Holy Spirit with Ashley. During the church service, there was a lot of clouds and impending rain, and we were praying against that and just trusting the Lord that the rain would not come, so that more people could come from that were invited, and that the rain wouldn't hinder them. And so we were just trusting the Lord for that rain to be held off. The dark clouds were coming. We were trusting Him, and at the end of the service, Ashley and I began to speak about the Holy Spirit and about His infilling and rivers of living water and everything that had to do with the Spirit of God and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of us speaking, when people were receiving the Holy Spirit, the rain began to pour down. And it was just an amazing sign of just the Holy Spirit watering that seed that had been planted in that area. And then His outpouring was flowing at that time, in the, underneath the tent, underneath the canopy, people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and, just receiving the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And then the skies cleared up, the sun came out, and we hadn't seen the sun in a while. It had been pretty cloudy the whole trip. And so I noticed the sun was shining. So I looked up and all of a sudden in the sky, I see this perfect circle rainbow around the sun right over top of us. And we were just so encouraged by the promises of God, just covering us and covering the land there. And just it was just a really special moment, and signs and wonders in the sky, just trusting Him and believing Him for all that He had poured out. And yeah, that's what I have to share.
So I believe we have that picture. I don't know if you've ever seen anything like this before, but it was pretty crazy. There we are, and this is above our head. And so we just really took it, you know, the obviously the prophetic demonstration of the outpouring of the Spirit represented by rain. And then as the rain cleared this, you know, the promise of God. And so as Lawrence mentioned in the very beginning, so the land is from generational inheritance, right? From the grandfather, great-grandfather passed down to the grandfather, passed down to Pastor Samuel, and now he is dedicating this area for the Lord. And if you, if you've ever been a part of a church plant in Africa, there's not a building committee that lasts 2 years. You don't, you know, raise funds. You don't go and ask for, you know, corporate or private, you know, sponsors, and you just go in and trust God. And so I believe that this is a promise of what God is going to do there. God gave Isaac a picture. We've seen, you know, that 25 years later, Abinsu is still standing and growing and flourishing. And in fact, if you take it a step further, the pastors that will ultimately be the pastors of this church were trained by Pastor Dan at Abinsu. And there's three of them that will start doing rotation. And so the fruit of that church plant is literally providing the leadership foundation for this new church. And so if you just see the spiritual significance and the spiritual connection that the Lord, as we're getting on the bus, is saying, I've got a promise. I'm going to take care of this place, and I'm going to bring fruit from it. And so that was really, really encouraging. All right, so that is in Sawam. We then move to Sunday night. Typically, we would be at Pastor Samuel's church in Amasaman Sunday morning for the big, you know, like Sunday, you know, celebration service with our team. But we actually were able to do that Sunday evening. And just to add a few small things to what Troy shared, you know, Pastor Samuel went through a long process where there was accusation and litigation against the who owned the land. And he, in fact, legally did own the land, but he had to walk through that trial trusting God. And he went from when he very first started Life Christian Center, he and Mama Vera had done, you know, 6 months of, you know, going house to house and putting up flyers and inviting people. This is in the very beginning, back in the 90s. And the first service that they held back then, he and Mama Vera showed up after 6 months of going all around. And so he and Faith got up and preached the message after she had led worship. Okay. That I don't know. Okay. So, yeah, maybe Troy's saying he thinks it was 6 months since they started meeting till people started coming. My understanding was 6 months that they had spent to prepare for this kickoff service. Either way, there is an extended period of time where they're preparing for this. They're the only two that are there. And so you can see how discouraging that might be. But he presses through that, and he starts.
Hello.
Okay. So, they go through that, right, and their church starts to grow. He was meeting at one location, then that location got moved to another location at his house, and then he plants this church. And this church that he was building was, they started very early when we began to work with them. And it starts to grow, and then through this trial, he lost his entire congregation. They were trying to meet in a classroom since they were told that they weren't allowed to meet on the land. He lost everyone. There were four or six people at one time that were meeting, and then they lost everyone. So you can imagine, you know, planted in faith, growing in faith, and then to go through a time period where you have no congregation. But then God breaks through, and they get a ruling from the Supreme Court, as Troy shared, that they do own the land. And so he goes in with boldness at that point and says, this is our land, this has been given to us by God, and we're going to see it grow. And one of the things that practically has allowed it to grow, get the prophetic significance of this, is that his own children are contributing financially to the growth of the church. All of them are. And so instead of, using those funds to, build a bigger house or, you know, supply for their own needs. He takes those funds that his children are giving to him from Germany and from New York and in other locations, and he's putting it into the church. And so that night, when we say we had a celebration service together, now you can understand a little bit more what we were celebrating. And we sort of jokingly said, this is why the music is so loud, because they've got something to celebrate. And so the Lord, through a couple different things, gave them, you know, gave them a prophetic word that said that they were in the lion's den, but now they are out of the lion's den. And so they are going to see the favor that Daniel had with the king. They're going to see that same favor, and the church is growing. And Pastor Samuel said, not just growing in quantity, he didn't use these words, but in essence, not just growing in quantity, but the quality of the people. They're loyal, they're faithful, they're not backbiting and, you know, doing things behind the scenes and these and sort of things. And so he's just was very, very excited to share what God is doing. And so celebration service that night. Well, that brings us then to Monday. And oh yes, yes, I'll let Lawrence do that since he was in charge of that side. So they gave us gifts, and you can see them, and it's a big deal for them to use their own funds and finances to be able to give that, and we in turn had some gifts for the kingdom. So
for many of you guys know that we've been partnering with a ministry that provides solar audio Bibles, which have proven to be critical for a lot of the ministry that's happening in the bush areas. A lot of people in a little bit more remote areas either don't know how to read or they only know how to read very little. So when we're trying to spread the word in scriptures, we've seen where these audio Bibles come in extremely handy. And so over the years, we've been taking several of them. This year was a little unique in the sense of we took a different audio Bible. We usually have one kind, but the ministry that we normally work with, we're having some issues developing the ones that we usually take. So we were able to take some new ones this year and present them. So this is the process of us just, we're giving them to Pastor Samuel here. And then I don't know if we have a picture with Pastor Dan and Mama Helen as well. Here we go. Presenting them. So Pastor Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, would kind of be like the second in command, the second overseer of all of Life Christian Center. And so these two, Pastor Samuel and Pastor Dan, are very much involved in overseeing the entire Life Christian Center community, which expands way beyond just Accra. And so as they are training more people, as they are teaching them, they're taking these audio Bibles and they're going into more remote areas, and they're using these to not only strengthen their own church members and grow up more leaders, but they're using it to share the gospel with other people as well. So they take these audio Bibles. They're capable of carrying multiple languages. And they take them into the villages, share the gospel, but also raise up other leaders. And that's kind of where they develop this process of expanding and growing more churches. So we were able to present these that evening as kind of a gift and an offering to the church to continue everything that the Lord's doing in there. So it was a great blessing and a great opportunity to continue to develop that relationship that we've had growing with them over the years.
And so, along with the church building, Mama Vera started a school years ago, and that school is expanding. And so that structure is right behind the main church building. And so Ashley and Isabella are going to share about what we did then on Monday, where we got to partner with the school, and they are coming just now. Can share the other things you wanted to share as well.
So we had a chance to partner with Mama Vera's school, and we went Tuesday, I think, and we split into groups, and we had a chance to minister from junior high to all the way to the preschool and nursery. And so I was with the elementary kids, with Isaac, Christy, and my dad. And we had the chance to share the love of God with them, but also we got to share with them how to soak in the Lord. And they had a chance to soak with music. And the first time, they were a little bit hesitant to say what they saw or heard, but then they got to share. Then we did it another time, and they got to share what they saw. And there were four or five kids who saw animals. And the last kid who got to share saw a horse. So we got to share with him how in the Bible it says when Jesus returns, he's going to return on a white horse. And then I also wanted to share about when we were inviting people to Sunday night church. Me and Ashley got to share with two Muslim women about the Lord. And they said they've heard the Lord before, but I could just feel something that it wasn't really a strong connection with the Lord. So we got to share with them, and I got to pray with them to give their lives to Jesus.
Ash, was there more you wanted to add about the school? Ash, was there more you wanted to add about the school?
So we divided into three groups.
How are you?
Yes, so a lot of them are learning English. This is the headmaster of the school, Emmanuel.
This is the second floor.
And Pastor Samuel here is just showing us some of the new construction that will be happening. This is the second floor of the building here.
Five. Basic six.
That has like middle school. They call it a junior secondary. So they have three classes up in that section right now and are going to work on dividers. This was the class that just had graduated, so that's why it was empty. And we had a chance to take gifts for them to be able to have alphabet posters.
You have to love one another.
So as Bella shared, they were sharing with the elementary children.
God designed for each one of you. The Bible says that God knows the plans that he has for your life.
And sharing about soaking and just letting that be an opportunity for the Lord to come in. And so, again, this is Mama Vera's school that is right next to the Church of Life Christian Center. That was the preschool children, and then here are the like upper middle school children, and so sixth and seventh grade in our eyes. And so we had a chance to do some drama and pray for them.
They're waving.
And then they were waving goodbye to us. They all lined up as we were leaving.
Bye-bye.
All waving in the midst of the rain to say goodbye to us. But again, it's just a big blessing. This is my second time to the school, but the first time to be able to see the students there. And so just being able to see their hearts, see all that they've been learning there. Mama Vera has been building this school from ground up, starting with the lowest grade and then gradually adding a grade through the years. And so she's up to, what, ninth grade, which they call JSS3. And so just being able to see how this has grown and the testimony of that But then also the last crew that you saw were the older kids that Troy, Sarah, Joseph, and I had a chance to share with, and it actually led through a time of salvation to give your life completely 100% to Jesus, not just having him in your back pocket, but being able to live a life for Jesus. And then after that went into a time of praying for Holy Spirit to come in and fill them. And there were actually those there that testified that it was their first time ever speaking in tongues. And so just seeing how the Holy Spirit in the midst of an afternoon, in the middle of their school day, then we were able to encourage them, houses them in the Spirit and gives them the gift of tongues. And so then we were able to encourage them how to continue to live your life, going to church, going to and serving the Lord, stepping into what he has for you as you've been filled up. And you can go out and pray for people. You can go out and share Jesus with people. So that's just been incredible to be able to see and be a part. And so that was a blessing for me to see. Again, it's the right place at the right time. The Lord knows what he was doing. Each and every person that was a part of each group was there, supposed to be there at that spot at that time. And so then I'm also going to invite Vimla up to share her experience, as it has also been her first time on a mission trip. And man, what a power woman she is. It was such a blessing to have her on this trip. And so she's just going to share with us about how we actually had time to, as a team, be imparted to and be able to hear from the Lord together and be strengthened up.
Ashley. Yeah, good morning, everyone. It was an amazing, life-changing trip for me. This is the first time I have been on the missions trip. And actually, some of the parts of Ghana, it's like India, and it brought me so many good memories, like going there. And actually, my dad was a missionary doctor. He was a leprosy doctor, worked in a missionary hospital. So I had experience with missionaries, means on the other side, on the receiving side. So we had a lot of missionaries come to our hospital and they stayed in our house and we were always so excited to see them. It was so different to be on the other side now, going as a missionary. So it was so touching for me and it was great experience to be with so many like amazing team members, highly knowledgeable, like, and especially my loving daughter with me for the first time. And it was such a great experience. And every day we started our day with Lawrence came up with some beautiful devotions. I always wanted to read the next day devotion because it was so touching. So I was always a day ahead, and that was so good. And Josh and Troy, oh my God, they have so much of knowledge. I can't even tell you, like, it was so life-changing. And I was with Troy's team, and he was, like, literally, I felt like God is talking to him directly. Like, he was, like, able to tell what's going on in the people's lives. And it was, oh my God, I wish I had that kind of... Yeah. And Josh was amazing, and... we had some very good team time together, and we also had time to spend with Pastor Dan and Mama Helen. We visited their house. He was sick, so he couldn't come for the worship, but we went and visited him. He shared a message with us, and one of the things that stuck very much to my heart is like what he said is like, I think we all can do that in our daily lives. He said like every day when he wakes up in the morning, when he turns the tap on to wash his face, he will say, I turn this water into the blood of Jesus, and he washes his face with that water and then he moves on. So I felt like that's very... that really touched my heart, and I felt like we all should do that. And also we had some time with Pastor Samuel, and he shared really good messages, and I think he wanted to share that when he comes in here next time. So I don't want to give all the information of that message, but it's about our spiritual life, where we stand in our life with in our spiritual life? Are you a baby or an adult or an elderly person in our life with Jesus? It was a very moving experience.
Yep.
So just one more thing. So Vimala, during our night at in Sawam, she came up and shared a testimony of healing during the time when we were praying for others for healing so that that would encourage their faith to believe for themselves. And, you know, I talked to her afterwards because I was just, like, amazed. It was so anointed, so clear, so powerful. And I was, she's like, that's the first time I've done that on the microphone. And I was like, I would have never known. It seemed like you've done it 100 times before. And so God just used her in so many ways, and it was just such a privilege to have her on the trip. So, absolutely. Well, we're going to sort of wrap things up here. We did have an opportunity while we were there to visit Cape Coast Castle and learn more firsthand about the transatlantic human trafficking historically and the slave trade between Africa, Europe, and the United States. And it was a very, as always, a very challenging thing to hear and go through, you know, emotionally and knowledge-wise. But even within that, we were able to pray together as a team, talk through things, and take the lens of the cross of Christ and the redemption of Christ and be able to, you know, learn how we need to see even historical facts through the cross and through the lens of what Jesus has done, and even be able to minister to some people that were there. So it was just an amazing time. So I'm going to have the whole team come on up. So I'm going to ask the 18 and younger crowd, if you could share just something small and short about personally what God did in your heart during this missions time. So, Isaac, you're on the end. You get to start.
Okay. I just felt like God was really helping me with confidence and, like, that if I put my faith in that he's going to help me, then he will continue to help me and give me Holy Spirit.
Well, for me personally, I had just given my life to Jesus, and I didn't know what was in store for me in this trip. I was super nervous going into this trip, but one particular night, we were praying as a team, and Josh just said, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit into your heart and into your mind and to be able to talk in different tongues, just meet me and Christy after our prayer. And so that night I received the Holy Spirit, and I think he had a vision that I was being anointed by the Holy Spirit, and I just suddenly started speaking tongues, which is so amazing, and it took me a step further in my faith, and so I was really excited to share that.
So on this mission trip, I was talking on the mic, explaining some of the dramas, and I'm always thinking about, okay, what do I say next? What do I do? And this time I kind of just let go and let the Holy Spirit use my mouth to speak his words. And I kind of had like a moment, you know, Peter walking on the water, he looks away and then he falls down. I think that happened a couple times where my natural mind like kicked in and I'm like, oh, what am I doing? And then I kind of had to hand the microphone to someone else. But the Lord was just showing me that just keep my eyes focused on him and let him do the work. And it was just a good time for me.
Yeah. For me, it was just a time of, like, getting reassurance of hearing from the Holy Spirit and sort of discerning that, because I, like, was sort of confused on how the Holy Spirit was speaking and a couple things that went along with that, like, in my mind and how my natural thoughts mixed in with that. So it was just like confirming the Holy Spirit's voice and hearing that. And also just like the intentionality of like spending time with him, then you get closer and you know his more voice more personally. And it was just great for me to grow in that. So, yeah.
And then for me on this trip, just I felt much more of a tug and a hunger to be more in the Word and reading personally and praying. And I've been able to step into that during and since the end of the trip.
For me, I felt like I really had the chance to trust in the Lord, and that I was trusting more in the Lord. And when my mind was going through all the things, who are these people? I don't know them. Why am I talking to them? Where am I? What time is it? But then when we would walk up to people, I would go through, well, should I share this? What if they do know about this? Then they're just bored. What do I share? And then I would just trust in the Lord, and my brain would just stop. And I would start to talk. I wasn't even know what I was saying sometimes. But I could tell in everyone's eyes that I was talking to. It touched their heart. And I think I was just able to really trust in the Lord, and my trust in him grew.
And I think all of us could share even more, but if you want to know more than you got today, then you can come up and see each one of us. But we have a few more things, but I'm going to have the team members pray out. But this is just a picture, right, of all of us. You know, you're hearing what they're saying, and in every step of the journey in ministering to others is a step of faith and trusting the Holy Spirit. We don't go down to First Friday and be like, I got this, I know what picture I'm going to draw, I know what I'm going to say, you know, we're good. We're constantly crying out, Holy Spirit, you gotta speak, you gotta move, you gotta do it, only you can do it, we need you. You know, no matter how many times you've done it. And going to ministry together, we're saying we need you, Lord. You're going to do it. We're trusting you, but we need you to do it. If you don't come in and move, then we have nothing to offer them. And so you're seeing that each one is growing in that faith. That if they do step out, God's right there because He loves people and He loves to minister. And bring people to himself. And you're also seeing that as they're getting closer to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is using them in new ways and also becoming more close with them. And so that's a picture of all of us. And so you may be out there being like, I need more of the Holy Spirit today. I need some healing today. I've always wanted to go on a mission trip, and I never thought I could do it. Here's some testimonies. If God calls you, then you know that is you can do it, and we're all called, right? Our pastor's name is a prophetic name. It's the Gokies. The key is to go. Frontline Ministries International, you know, and so who we are in this house is very much founded on you know going, and that's because it's the Great Commission. And so if you, that's burning in your heart, and you know, I'm going to have the team members pray out, but just to bless you guys so much for listening. And, if there's specific things that you'd like prayer for, we're up here. Please come if you need healing. If you have never received baptism in the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit, if you've never given your life to Jesus, we're here for that. We're just going to end with that prayer, and then or before we pray, I'm just, let's pray first, and then we have a few quick testimonies, because the mission doesn't stop when, you know, a team gets back. We have teams going out all the time, and we also have crews going out ministering here locally, and so we have some testimonies that we want to share from First Friday before everyone leaves. So who would like to start praying out?
Well, Lord, we just thank you so much for this trip and for this time that we've had to commune with each other and commune with you, Lord, and draw closer to you and learn more about you and your voice, Jesus. I thank you for all the prayers that were prayed for us as we were on the trip and how much that backed us up and how much God worked through that. Lord. So I pray right now that it would keep going and that your spirit would be manifest in our lives and in our hearts and in this church. In Jesus' name.
God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that we were able to go to Ghana and minister to the people of Ghana, and thank you that your Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us, and thank you that we were able to pray through the Holy Spirit in to many different people, and many different people were able to receive salvation and to know that they can be forever with you in heaven in the afterlife. And thank you that you are the same God in Ghana, and then you're the same God here. And thank you that we're able to receive the same things here that we are able to receive in Ghana. And we ask that you continue to flow in your presence in this place. And thank you that you're such a good Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Thank you, Lord, for just the amazing opportunity we had to go and minister with your so dearly loved people, Lord God. And I thank you that it just doesn't stop there, Lord God. I ask that you'd use us as a weapon to destroy anything the enemy wants to do here. And God, I just thank you would continue this work in America as well. In Jesus' name.
Well, Jesus, I just pray for your presence and your Holy Spirit to wash over all of Frontline and Life Christian Center. God, that you would just be able to move through all the people that we spoke to tonight. Life Christian Center would just be emboldened in your name and be able to preach to the hundreds, if not thousands. In Jesus' name.
I thank you for the time we got to have during the mission trip and for everything that was sown into it from people back in the U.S., and from the people in Ghana as well, and that you would just continue to use us and that you would bring an increase in both us and the people who helped and are around us, and that I just felt like there might be someone who needs healing for their right side, and that if that's so, that you would just receive that healing in Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we had to go to Ghana this year. And we pray that every person we met, every sickness or disease that is trying to come back to the people that were healed, that it will break off. And that you'll continue to move in all the places that we went, and that you will help all the pastors in Sawam to grow the new church that you want there. And we pray that the church will grow, and so will the community that comes there.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us another day, and we are so blessed to be in your house today and worshiping with all our Frontline family members. And thank you for all the family members that prayed for us and that supported us in our Ghana trip, Lord Jesus. And thank you for all the miracles you have done while we were in Ghana. And thanks just not for ministering for the people in Ghana, but also ministering in our hearts and what you did in our lives and in our hearts. And you continue to do it, Lord. It's not just the miracles that we read in the Bible, but you're doing miracles right in our midst, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't need to look for miracles in the Bible to know that you're a miracle-working God, but you're right amongst us, Lord Jesus. You're doing the miracles right in our lives, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord Jesus.
And Lord, we just thank you for each and every person here and each and every one listening on live stream. Lord, that you have more for each and every one. Lord, that they are here at the right place at the right time. And Lord, that you will continue to take them out every step that they take, every place that they go. Lord, that you will just continue to be with them Lord, as they walk with you, as they grow closer to you, Lord, as they dig into your word, Jesus, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking them to a new place, whether it's from the very beginning with you and giving their life to you, Lord, or if they've been doing it for years, that you just take them deeper, going deeper into a new place of trusting in you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the generation upon generational promise here, Lord God, and we continue to declare that out. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, as that healings have been spoken out, Jesus, each and every one in Ghana, we thank you for those. And we thank you, Lord, for the ones here, Jesus, that you will just release your healing presence right now, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, over this place, over each and every person who is listening, that you come in, you touch that area, Lord God. It is by your stripes that we are healed. Jesus, you went to the cross for each and every one of us, so we just thank you for that, Lord God. We release that over this place right now. We've seen it before, and we'll see it again. If we've prayed for it before, we'll pray for it again until we see it come to pass. So we just thank you, Jesus, for who you are, and we release that now in Jesus' name.
I just feel like the Lord's saying that the things that he's given you revelation for are the things that you've become responsible for stewarding. And I believe that the Lord's given a lot of revelation to different people on this team, and whether it's directly from him or something that was taught or imparted from somebody else, that just like Noah was given the revelation to build the boat, it became his responsibility to steward that. And so he was the one that had to go out and build the boat, and many other examples of that now throughout Scripture. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that as these revelations have come to each and every team member individually as well as a group, and that has been released to the body here, Father God, that we become responsible for stewarding the things that you've entrusted to us. And so, Father, I thank you that you would equip every person here to fully walk out your promises, to fully step into the things that you're calling them to, Father, to fully embrace the calling that's been put on their life and to not shy away from it, but to embrace it and do everything that's in their responsibilities to steward it. And so, Lord, we thank you for that revelation. We thank you for the truth of encountering your presence. We thank you, Father, for the way that you have poured out your spirit over each person here on this team and over the people in Ghana. And we pray that you would continue to do that, Lord. But now that they would take the responsibility of stewarding things, trusting you in that process, Father, and being willing to step into it fully. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you give grace in that process, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that we would fully step into all of those things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, there's still things going on in Ghana, so if you all, God would put on your heart to contribute, there's still some team members that have some expenses that need paid off, and there is ongoing work. There's a new church plant. There's the Ghana North Project. There's many, many things going on, and so God puts it on your heart. So team members, don't run away just after the service. We're going to get a picture in our Ghana garb to send to Pastor Samuel, so don't run away. But before we end here, we're going to have a few testimonies from First Friday because God is still moving. Amen.
So, again, we're little. It's time to be gone, but just wanted to share real quickly from First Friday. Andy wasn't able to be here this morning, but he was down there set up and just manning that and just ministering to people. But then we were able to come. So some of us from the team, Lawrence and Joseph and Judah and Isaac and I, were able to be down there, and Jay was there as well. And it was just really exciting. I think we had three or four people that received the Lord. And it was cool the way the Lord just wove in from the artwork to sharing the gospel and seeing especially our team just in new confidence and boldness down at First Friday. So this is Joseph here sharing a word with this young man, and Judah praying for Millie next to him. And then I think there's another photo that had one of the guys that came to the Lord. There's a girl named Megan that received the Lord. And but just praying for, you know, different, wherever people were at, whether it was receiving the Lord or things they needed in their life or healing, this young man praying to receive the Lord. So it's exciting. So First Friday, it's every First Friday. If you want to get some local training as well in sharing the gospel and your faith and stuff, it's exciting. So
Going to release everyone. Blessings on everyone that's on vacation, traveling, safe travel for all of you. And everyone getting their destination, getting back. And blessings on everyone here. And we just love you all. Have a great day. Bye.